Nearly home. Isn't home where we all want to be? Reba here for Realtor.com, the pro's number one most trusted app. Finding a home is like dating. You're not just looking for a place to live. You're searching for the one. That's where Realtor.com comes in. Like any good matchmaker, they know exactly where to look. With over 500,000 new real listings straight from the pros every month, you could find your perfect match today. Ranch style with a pool, barn dominium with an in-law suite, Realtor.com's got them. Modern craftsman with a big yard and a treehouse out back, Realtor.com will have you saying, yep, that's the one. No more swiping. It's time to start finding. Download the Realtor.com app today, cause you're nearly home. Make it real with Realtor.com.
Pros number one most trusted app based on August 2025 proprietary survey. Over 500,000 new listings every month based on average new for sale and rental listings. July 2024 to June 2025. They wanna be down with the
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance, along with RJ. RJ moving into his second day here on the show. Sean's still here, but how long is it back up there? Is Sean going to be here all week, RJ, or are you ready to take it over?
Yeah, this is going to be Sean's last day. He is taking off the handcuffs, and I'll be in here alone. Any mess-ups are my own.
Yesterday's mess-ups were Sean's. I know that.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yes, 100%.
That wasn't on you.
So now the one rule is always bring the Twitch down during commercials. So when we say scathing commentary, it's not heard. And then back up when it's off. Some hosts like their mics on during breaks. I don't understand
these hosts
why.
These hosts don't.
Why would anyone want to always be on a microphone?
No.
In this day and age?
No.
Why would you want that?
No, and captured by the ugliness that is our Twitch listener.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Why would you want that?
No, we're not doing that. So always bring those mics down, RJ. That's the only important thing you do. We don't care if you get the sound. We don't care. Interview. We don't care. Bring the sound down so that we don't get fired. That's the key to everything. Our Rockets look pretty damn. How about 30 out of Jalen?
Basically, that was a perfect game yesterday.
I mean, perfect.
Just in general, yeah. Not just Jalen Green, but they played really. They played good basketball. Well, offensively, they played good basketball. They had a chance to win at the end. It was a heartbreaker in and out. Oh well, looks like they'll stay in the bottom three.
Yep.
And and yet you have Jalen Green doing, frankly, rookie of the year type stuff. He's not going to win rookie of the year, but right now. Over the second half of the season, Jalen Green is in consideration for top three rookie of the year over the second half of the year.
Yeah, but I think because he was out of sight, out of mind, and he was, make no mistake about it.
He was out
of sight, out of mind, that I think that it's going to be really tough for him. Although people will look at the end of the year and look at his numbers and say, wait a minute, look at what this guy's done. This guy actually turned out to be pretty darn good. So,
Jalen Green is leading the team in scoring. Over the last 10 games, he's averaging 18.3, but that does not include last night's game.
30, 25, 23, 8, 17, 8, 20, 22, 17, 11, 32 points, 20 points, 24 points. I mean, you're taking this from this guy.
His three-point percentage over his last 10 games, once again, not including yesterday. The 10 previous... His three-point percentage right now is 40. It was over the last 10 games, 42.4%, 25 of 59, 47.9% from the field, averaging, as I said, 18.3, and free throw percentage, 81% as well. He is not going to be, I don't know that he's ever going to be a great rebounder. You just get him on the glass and make him active. Every once in a while, he'll pull six or whatever the case may be. But right now, Jalen Green has basically showed that by the end of the year, yes, you were right in your selection. Rafael Stone made the right choice You can say what you want about other players, but Rafael Stone made the right choice at that number two pick. He's explosive. He's talented. He is entertaining, which matters to Tillman. And, more than anything, I think you see just immense upside.
Yeah. Listen, he's just gotten better every single month. He had, in January, he only played three games. He had 20 points, and then he regressed to 13 points in February. But he only played three games. 13 in February, 16 and a half points. In January, he had 13 points. In March, in February, he had 16. And this month, he's averaging over 20 points a game. So he is he is just getting better and better and better. And we saw, I'm telling you, I think this is Anthony Edwards like. Anthony Edwards was really, really poor to start his career in Minnesota. And now he's the man.
There. Well, you got to get used to, where did Jalen Green play his college ball?
Nowhere.
Oh, well, how many seasons did he have in the G League?
He had a half.
He had like 11 games. He had a very few games. It's like Davis Mills-like games coming out. So it makes sense. He hadn't played much pro basketball. He hadn't seen guys like this.
Yeah. No, he's just getting better and better and better. Here's Kevin Porter had a nice game too last night, by the way. They lost to the Spurs, which is a great thing. Like Lance said, it was the perfect storm. Jalen Green and Kevin Porter played
You wanted.
Josh Christopher played really, really well too. And Şengün was okay. But you didn't have Christian Wood. You didn't have – you know what their record is without Eric Gordon this year?
What?
He's missed 18 games. Guess what their record is?
2-16?
1-17.
Yeah.
1-17 without Eric Gordon this year. Holy crap. That's really, really telling how important Eric Gordon is. But here's Kevin Porter talking about Jalen Green.
Me and Jay, all season, we've been just trying to feed off each other and, like you said, play off each other. And I feel like later on in the season, we're starting to get how to play off each other, because I never had a someone as talented, young, and athletic, dynamic as he is on my side before, and he probably never had someone like that on his side before. So we're just continuing to learn each other, and tonight it shows like what we are capable of being together as one when we're both on the floor.
It's a little bit, a little pat on my own back, but
I don't think he's ever had anyone quite.
I don't think he's ever had anyone quite like me.
Athletic and explosive as me.
I don't think he's ever had anyone as highly rated as me
and highly regarded. He's lucky.
Yeah. No.
Is that
no.
your question?
Yeah. What?
Well, no, it was actually about Jalen.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's lucky to play with me.
He's never had anybody like me. Okay, so now
frankly, when it comes to me,
I don't know.
We're joking. That was a good answer.
I go back to this, Lance. When Jakob Poeltl, did you see Jalen dunk over Jakob Poeltl last night?
Yes,
it was pretty good. But when Jakob Poeltl is 8-for-10 against you, it's just a killer. I don't want to say he's a stiff. He's an NBA player, and he's a good player. I don't want to denigrate the guy, but he's a below average NBA center, and you got to get somebody. I know Christian Wood wasn't there last night, but Christian Wood is not a guy that's right to guard Jakob Poeltl anyway. It's just not Christian Wood's game. And oh, by the way, I don't believe Christian Wood's going to be here long term anyway. What you got to get is a real center too. I understand it's a guard game, it's an outside game, it's a 3-point game, all of that stuff. But man, when you're playing Jokic or Ayton or even Jakob Poeltl or Powell from Dallas just destroyed you because they're just too big and strong, and you got nobody. Well, Alperen Şengün is not built to be stopping these guys.
Well, I got news for you. This is their center.
Yeah,
they're not like you can want that all you want.
Well, I think he's a four. He's not get you a center,
but he's 19, and you don't have to guard bigs very often. They'll have somebody on their bench. You can pick them up. They're a dime a dozen.
I don't know. Everybody's got a big. Embiid.
That's what I'm saying.
The better team. They're not a dime a dozen. Everybody's got a pretty damn good one.
No, they don't. There's a limited amount of really good centers.
It's more of a center's game than it has been in the past. It's a lot more center's game.
Jokic is not a true center either. He's a four. So, Jokic just plays out away from the basket.
Dominating you.
He plays out on the perimeter.
Not against the Rockets, you don't.
But you're talking about MVPs.
Right.
You mean the Rockets need an MVP?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. They had one.
Well, no,
now
he's they need a
nice catching bullets. No,
they
in
just need a,
like
a center.
About.
They need like a guy who's a real center.
Look at what's already out on the screen. Did you see what that is? Mm. Level of concern for Harden. We will get to that a little bit later. Now they're already starting to freak out a little bit in Philadelphia because James, you've already got ESPN is doing their narrative business where they basically have sicked Kendrick Perkins on James Harden, and now Kendrick Perkins spends every other day bashing James Harden like he's falling apart. I don't know if he's even gonna be able to play anymore.
It's just a shame. Yeah. I hate to see it. I hate to say.
We don't get their pick.
I would hate to see Deshaun really struggle. I hate to see Carlos really struggle. If you want to know the truth, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see James Harden really struggle. I hate that. I just hate
Carlos
that.
Can struggle too if we had a draft pick coming from if the Twins drafts you if your draft picks are tied to your performance, your team's performance, I want you to be terrible. But Carlos is not in that position, so that's fine.
No. We want James Harden to be awful. Well, doesn't matter. James Harden's gone. Want the Nets.
We need Kyrie to be on. Yeah. We need Kevin Durant. I'm not going to say what we need. But
and guess what? We never talked about how Kyrie gets to play now. As soon as the baseball season comes and the Yankees are back.
It's amazing. What an amazing time to be alive in New York when as soon as the Yankees, it's time for them to play, the Nets finally benefit. Like, all right, we'll let Kyrie play now that the Yankees need to play.
Right. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Eric Adams lifting everything whenever it's baseball time. How good is that?
That is that's New York City. Congratulations on your terribleness.
We just need them out early. That's all.
Oh yeah. What the Nets? Yeah. Good luck with that, with those two now being able to play every single game.
Yeah, that's true.
And there is something that they talked about.
And no James Harden to drag him down.
And a little bit later in the show, they had an interesting topic on the show before ours that we will talk about a little bit later in the show. But when we come back, first I want to hear from Coach Silas. Coach Silas had these comments about the game last night. And you know what? It was just that's just a really, really, really good basketball game that the Rockets fortunately came out on the short end of because of, wanting to get
him right.
They're on the edge.
Heard him right. They fortunately came out on the wrong side.
On the short end because they are right now on the brink of not getting that getting the most ping pong balls. So if they continue to win games like they have been lately, which is just ridiculous, then they're going to be on the short end. Well, they're not going to get nearly as many ping pong balls and get to possibly the first pick in the draft. Here is Coach Silas on losing that game last night.
I see growth in this group, it seems like, every day. even when we lose, I feel like there are moments or areas that we grow. So, yeah, they're a team who is right there trying to make the playoffs, and we were right there toe-to-toe with them and played hard and played through adversity and gave up 48 points in the paint in the first half but only gave up 24 in the second half. So, it shows some character from our group and some fight, especially with our young group of guys that we had out there looking out. I was telling the referee we had four 20-year-olds and a 21-year-old out there at one point, and he just shook his head and laughed.
Did Şengün turn 20?
I thought he just turned 19, I thought.
I thought he was 19 in the summer. I got to double check, make sure I'm not. My birthday's aren't off.
Is Stephen Silas making the case for
Stephen
for
Silas? That if you didn't know the score of the game, you'd think they won. When you hear his tone, and what he's saying, you would think, man, the Rockets must have showed up and won by six. Maybe overcome a fourth quarter deficit there.
With them winning 3 out of 4 right before this game and then playing the way that they did, I'd be happy too if I was Stephen Silas. The crappy basketball he's had to watch last 2 years. But is Stephen Silas right now there really making a case for Stephen Silas? Man, look at the young guys, dude. It's true.
Doesn't he deserve it?
He does. He does. I mean,
who else is gonna?
But again,
fight for him.
Bo Silas. As soon as they get good, they're gonna go, well, look at your record, Stephen Silas. Sorry, we can't keep you. I hope they don't do him like that. But it's certainly a possibility when you do get good. Steven, sorry, we got to get somebody else in here. Look at your record. It's terrible. But he's the one who's had to go through all of this with these young guys. 7-13.
That's not the plan. You wondered with Bo Porter, they knew how far out. with basketball can come back quickly. I think Steven Silas, if this keeps building next year, if you see a Jalen Green see, it's not beyond Jalen Green's going to average over 20 a game next year.
Yeah.
Jalen's okay. going to average over 20 yeah. a game next year. I think Steven Silas, as long as the key is going to be, can he get them to play now defensively in spurts? You have to. At some point, you're going to have to make your guys play defensively. It's I don't know if he's making anyone go to timeout at all, but they don't play defense. At some point, you're going to have to demand, guys, if you don't play, I'm going to have to start making some adjustments to the lineup to get some defense in. It's not this year. I get it. But next year, when it's for real, you really do need to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, when we come back, our old friend James Harden right now, as I mentioned, is having a hard time with the 76ers. It went from, and it wasn't that long ago, we were talking about triple doubles for James. This is how quickly it's turned. But in the last 10 games, he is really struggling over there, and it's beginning to create some narratives and some conversations around the league. And it got Tyronn Lue and Daryl Morey are now going at it. And what do you know? The James drama, it has ended up spilling over into Philadelphia now, and we will catch up on the latest when we get back.
But first, let's talk about the Great Plate.
Let's talk about, that's the company who owns Jack's Grill. It's Paul Miller. He was former defensive lineman for the Purdue Boilermakers, and now he lives in Houston. He's a big basketball fan. He's courtside with Rockets. He's got season tickets for all the top teams. I mean, all the pro teams here, and just loves to go. I'm telling you right now, when it comes to having food and having a chance to have the comfort food that you love, watching games on the TVs in the Jack's Grill, it's a great spot. Get your wings. My son Sebastian, he's a wing connoisseur and snacks. His favorite wings are going to be at Jack's Grill right now. Loves them. He orders 12. He gets to 10. He gets capped out. He refuses to believe that 9 is the right order for him, but that's okay. He keeps doing him. The other thing that I highly recommend over there, chicken fried steak and chicken fried chicken. It's not easy to find that anymore unless you're making it, but you can still find great chicken fried steak, fried shrimp and catfish, po' boys. These are the types of dishes you can still find. Of course, if you're looking to eat healthier, that's fine as well. How about a shrimp Caesar or a salmon salad? They've got that for you. But the menu's expansive. There's something for everyone, and I promise you, you'll have a great time. It's a great family environment if you want to go there. Just stop in and grab some lunch with the fellas or some dinner and have some drinks. It's Jack's Grill. 6 locations in the Houston area. That's Jack's Grill right here in Houston.
Years of research and innovation. Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
The godfather of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
What do you think,
John, by the way, and Lance, along with RJ and you at 713-780-3776.
I just called you Godfather, which is clearly a kind of a stereotypical shot at your Italian heritage. You okay with that?
I'm fine. I'm looking at golfers that I'm going to pick this week.
Rocco?
No. There's a guy out there on the tour right now named Guido Migliozzi, and I can't pass him up.
His name is Guido
Migliozzi.
Migliozzi. Did he play any shortstop at all for the Red Stockings?
No. He's like right now. He's on the tour.
Did he play for the Brooklyn Dodgers at any point?
There he is, Guido Migliozzi. Okay. He's from Vicenza, Italy.
Yeah.
I'm taking him this week, too.
I thought he was from Italy. I had a feeling.
Well, Valenzuela. No. I can't even say it.
What?
He's South America. He could have been South America.
Venezuelan?
Venezuelan.
Oh, okay.
I can't even say Venezuelan. Okay, I got it.
Wow, you're that bigoted that you can't even say the V word.
No, I don't want to say it.
Venezuelan. You can say it. Don't be such a bigot.
No, I'm not a bigot. I'm just saying.
Oh, you just struggled to actually say it.
Yeah, he could be Venezuelan, but he's not. He's Italian. He's from Vicenza.
I'm sorry. I'll get to the Daryl Morey and James Harden stuff in a second. When I see a board that says Tupac and draft running backs, that intrigues me.
Okay.
Out of nowhere. We hadn't even been talking about this. This is just on their mind.
No, and there's a Lance that wants to talk about Tupac.
Yeah.
Okay. Lance, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? Double run.
Back at you. Do a lot of people mistake you for Lance? Do they ask you, are you Lance Zierlein?
They do. They always ask me if I like pretty feet and about people's hips. And
do you say yes?
Yes.
It's weird.
It is weird. It's kind of weird. I know we got
welcome to my life.
The other Gilbert, he's like, yeah. Everybody asks me if I'm the Gilbert. So everybody asks you if you're the Lance, right? Gotcha.
They do. But yeah, I was listening yesterday, and y'all were talking about Tupac, and Lance was wondering if Tupac had ever shot anybody, and I'm surprised you didn't know the story, Lance. But he actually did shoot two cops in Atlanta in 1993. They were plainclothes cops that were in an altercation with another guy, and Tupac was trying to defend the guy. And when Tupac tried to get involved, one of the cops pulled a gun on Tupac, and Tupac pulled his gun out and just started firing on the two cops. And he hit one in the stomach, and he hit the other one in the ass. And so, yeah, so if y'all were wondering if Tupac ever shot anybody, he did. He shot Tupac.
Listen, that was a heavy favorite.
I don't remember hearing...
That was a heavy favorite.
I don't remember ever hearing that. I can't remember what Pac went to jail for. I can't remember what that was that sent him to jail. Oh, Lance is off the air.
Yeah, right.
I can't ask you. RJ, do you know? John won't know. Do you remember what it was?
I don't remember what he went to jail for. I do remember him shooting the two cops. I mean, you didn't watch the movie, the biopic they did?
I swear I watched, but with him and I watched, well, they've done more than one. But I know I watched, I think I did. I watched one with him and Biggie, but I thought that was the one, but maybe not, because I actually saw one back in the, before 2010. So I don't think that would have been it. I don't know if that one would have been it. And maybe I just forgot, to be honest with you, because I watched it a long time. RJ, I've watched 100,000 shows since pandemic started. I was going through this. Do you know how many series I've watched? And I mean, when I say a series, like, I watched all of Bosch. I watched all of Peaky Blinders. I watched all of series that I had. Oh, Schitt's Creek, no problem. I'll watch all six seasons of that. Boom. Now you can get through those pretty quick. But I watched all of seasons.
Yeah, right.
Like one to whatever. Oh, the ones that, not to mention episodes that Del told us about, like 000 and Gangs of London. No problem. Boom. Just massacre those.
Yeah, right.
Tear right through them.
Right.
So no, I forgot about
that. I was busier. You know, I was a lot.
No,
I'm
watched
a lot
of shows too.
I watched a lot of shows, but not nearly as many as you do. Cause I'm busy.
Okay.
Working.
Did you watch Bridgerton?
Yeah.
Soft.
No, my wife watched
it.
Did
you watch The Queen? Did you watch The Queen?
Yeah.
You soft.
No, that's a good show. GT, let's get the running backs draft in here. What do you say, GT?
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. First of all, I just want to say, Johnny, thank you for being the man of the people. You truly are the voice of Houston.
Thank you.
LZ, keep that barbecue game up, boy.
What's
anyways,
that?
Got a question for you guys. Lance and John, there's four running backs that that I want to ask you guys about. Hankins or Haskins from Michigan. I don't remember which one of the two. White from Georgia. Walker from Michigan State. And, gosh dang it, who was the other
Paul
one?
Paul from Iowa State?
Robinson from Alabama. I haven't heard much from him, but that guy just, he just...
Why is he not he more... Why is he not more highly regarded?
Well, so he's not really a third down option, so now you're dealing with an early down back, which they don't have as much value as they once did.
How do you run?
Valued. Ran okay.
Yeah.
Did he run? Trying to remember, I don't think he ran actually. Oh. Now that I think about it, but you kind of know what he is. He's a 4.5 40 guy. Yeah. He's big. He's a bruiser.
When
you watch him on tape, he's not gonna. His vision's just okay. What he is He's a ball in the china shop, you know. Yeah. He's what he
and
is.
And he's got exactly. Alabama's offensive line versus everybody else's
but
defensive
line. You don't want him as your primary running back because he's really not creative enough against NFL, you know, competition. However, what you do want him, if you're a team like, I keep mentioning the Chargers, if you've got a guy like Austin Ekeler, you want a guy like Brian Robinson next to Robinson, who's there banging on people. I think Brian Robinson, because the running back position lacks some value, I think he goes sometime in the third, maybe into the early fourth. But he'll be a good pro at what he does. Kenneth Walker there's some love in the streets for Kenneth Walker, although it's a little hit or miss because he just doesn't follow where the play is supposed to go. He just makes his own path. But I think Kenneth Walker for sure goes in the second. I like Kenneth Walker. I just think with an offensive line that's not great like the Texans, well, actually what you could say is, actually for an offensive line that's not great as a run-blocking unit, Kenneth Walker actually might be the perfect player for them early on because if they don't get a block, he'll just go find it somewhere else.
Yeah.
Cut, zip, 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 zoom. And like, oh, well, we didn't even do anything, and Kenneth just gained 6 yards. So it actually might make some sense. Zamir White I love. I think Zamir White, to me, is maybe the third running back off the board. He is really big. He's a big, strong, physical guy. He's got some speed. He was a 5-star coming out, so he's a tremendous athletic tester. And then I've got Brian Robinson as the fifth running back off the board. I just think he's third,
what's
fourth.
What's your Hall one?
I have Breece Hall, the clear one to me. Well, yeah, Breece Hall one, Kenneth Walker two, and then three, I think Spiller is Spiller wasn't great at the combine going through the workouts. I think Spiller may fall a little bit. So I think Spiller goes either four or five. I think Zamir White will go three. And then it really drops off after that. And he asked about one other running back. We talked about Brian Robinson. We talked about Kenneth Walker. I really like Zamir White. I'd love for if the Texans could get their hands on him on the third round, I would absolutely love that.
Oh, yeah, Haskins.
Hassan Haskins. Hassan Haskins, to me, is not dynamic. He's not that explosive. He's not going to make you miss. He's just, here's where we just put your lunch, just put your hard hat on. Here's your lunch pail. Go to work every day. Go get us 3 yards. Go run hard. He's big. He's in the 220s. He's really big. He's physical. Michigan's offense is not very exciting running back-wise. They do a lot of gap scheme stuff where they're just basically base blocking up and, you know, just go hit into the gap as hard as you can and be physical. That's who he is. You would not want him as your primary running back, I don't think. Maybe a number two, might be a number three, but I think Haskins is a guy that if you like him, you take him on day three, sometime in probably in like the fifth round is where I'd look for him. So not as big on Haskins, but he's a tough guy, and tough guys make it in the league. It's just they don't usually last a long time because they're not dynamic. And I don't know that he is a third down option. So you're talking about kind of a limited guy, and I'm not sure he plays special teams either, which is another thing you want your like running back three to do.
Yeah. All right, when we come back, we will get to that James Harden stuff
that we
promised you, only we got sidetracked.
Tyronn Lue took a shot.
All right, we've got that on the other side right here. And still ahead, we got to talk Astros with Jeremy Pena in the leadoff hole. We've got NFL overtime that we've got to talk about, and NBA duos that we will do as well. So we got a lot of stuff to do. And we got Paul Biancardi going to join us a little bit later in the show, 9:30, in 2 hours, to talk about this NCAA tournament.
Hey, how about Mel Kiper? He's coming on Friday.
How about that?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Mel Kiper's coming on Friday.
That's cool. We will talk to Mel Kiper, who is your daddy. Okay.
He's an OG.
No, no. He's who made you. He's your Tiger Woods.
I respect Mel.
So let's right now, though, let's talk about hoops, and let's talk about the sporting goals, and let's talk about the Pro Dunk hoop, which is the best hoop in the history of hoops, and it's not even arguable. Lance talked about it. He's got the one that's with the bent rim and net, so and it shakes, and the ball, every time you shoot it, the ball goes in because it's a dead rim. You'll never, ever, 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 ever have that with the Pro Dunk hoop. We had ours. You go back to the neighborhood. We actually had Keith Tate and his guys came out and moved our goal to a neighbor's house. And they're playing with, they've got little kids, and they all love it, and they lower the goal, and it looks like it's brand new still. That's how awesome the goal is, and it's 20 years old. And so if you're looking for that kind of goal that's going to last, that's going to be perfect for your kids, that the kids can actually enjoy because they can raise and lower the goal, that the mom will love because it still looks great in the front, right in the driveway there in the front. It's all at ProDunkHoops.com. Go check it out for yourself. See the best goal ever. ProDunkHoops.com.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
So a little scrutiny, and you know, this is almost like, okay, so Ty Lue coming after James Harden is like Chris Rock coming after
No. He came after Daryl Morey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he came after Daryl Morey.
For getting James?
Well, first of all, Ty Lue made a comment about, well, you know, if you took the free throws away from James Harden. Somebody asked him about how hard is it going to be because they get so many free throws. He's like, well, I mean, if you took free throws away from James Harden and Joel Embiid, they wouldn't have been a top 10 scoring. He said, you know, it's hard. They get to the free throw line all the time, blah, 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 blah. And then Daryl Morey saw that and posted, yeah, the Clippers would be 30th in the league in scoring if you took away their free throws. Once again, say it with me again, teams foul. Your guys get fouled when teams can't stop them. He said, the Clippers would rank 30th without free throws. Say it with me again. Players are fouled because the other teams cannot stop them. That's what Daryl Morey said. And here's what Ty Lue had to say about that.
They'd be 30 in the league or something like that.
If what? Oh, we didn't shoot free throws?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard about that.
I mean, they took out of – I mean, it wasn't – it was said, man, that, you know, if you continue to foul those guys, they can score 50. We want to make field goals and not free throws because they're crafty and getting to the line. But, you know, but, I mean, in response to Daryl Morey, like, I mean, should he really be tweeting anything right now? Last time he tweeted, he cost the NBA $1 billion. So I don't think he should be doing too much tweeting. Just worry about his own team.
Last time he tweeted, he cost the NBA $1 billion.
That wasn't his last tweet. It was his last tweet about Hong Kong.
That's the easy one. Well,
yeah.
Freedom isn't free.
No, freedom is not free.
Freedom's not free.
No, it's not. It's costly. There's no question.
The NBA once again taking that stand against freedom.
Yeah.
Hey, shouldn't he just shut up and let us get all of our money?
Yeah.
How dare he mentions freedom when China's involved? But it is. I mean, from a joke standpoint, Ty Lue had the jokes. I mean, you're always going to have that over Daryl Morey.
Always.
Shouldn't you maybe not be saying anything since the last time you said something? You can. It literally is going to last forever. You'll have that over Daryl Morey.
Always. Always. That's always. Just like Charles.
Just like you. I mean, did you fall on a curb? Did you fall playing frisbee golf? Like, it's. I can't get away from that.
So apparently, the Cougs scoring 44 points. The last time a team scored 44 points was North Carolina. Something like this. It was something like to this effect. It was 44 points, and it was North Carolina with Kenny Smith on the team. And Charles goes, Kenny, you was player of the year, and you scored, and your team scored 44. That's terrible. You're terrible. And Kenny goes, it's the Elite Eight, Chuck. You have no idea what that's about, okay? You've always got that over,
Dude,
Chuck.
Kenny also played in a time where they would on purpose go into four corners.
Yes.
Like North Carolina did it with Dean. They would do that.
I think Kenny was past that.
No, he was not. That was stuff I used to see as a kid watching Guy Lewis' U of H team.
Kenny was still didn't have a shot clock because Kenny played?
One of the reasons that Houston lost North Carolina State because they went into a quote-unquote locomotion offense, which is their slowdown. There's no shot clock.
Yeah.
So they just held it. And that was not uncommon for guys to stall. And Kenny probably caught some of that, too. Maybe even in that game where they had 40. But it just looks like a 40-something
point game. Right.
Houston did it with a high tempo. Houston did it with frenetic pace. And Houston has just looked like hyper kids, like on the playground. The hyper kids.
The quickest shot clock in college basketball history.
Yeah.
And more shots. And more three-point attempts.
Yeah.
And they still scored 44.
Offensive rebounds, like... they would shoot. It was almost like the ball would fly out of their hands when they jumped. They didn't wait to get to the peak of their jump to let it go.
You remember Van Gundy told us about putting the the cover on the rim?
Yeah.
Everybody said they should take it off.
They should have taken it.
I mean, everybody
off,
had the same joke on Twitter. I know, okay. Man. All the people that heard Van Gundy talking about it. So, an interesting topic, Jay Will had the NBA's top duos.
Let me finish something up real quick because I didn't finish up.
James Harden is in this. Oh, that's okay, why I was ahead. Doing it.
I got you.
That's why I'm doing it. So, where do you think Harden and Embiid are in his list?
Well, they should be top three.
Okay.
Behind Devin Booker, maybe. And no, not Devin Booker, Chris Paul. It would have to be. I mean, everyone loves Kyrie, so I'll say two.
He's got Durant, Kyrie.
Yeah.
He's got Steph and Draymond, two.
That's what?
He's got Draymond. Giannis and Middleton, three.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
He's got Paul and Booker, four, and Harden and Embiid, five. Mm. And you know what's funny is, where is Jokic?
Well, who's his second?
But that's right, because he's got no second. Where's Doncic? He's got no second.
Where's John Morant second?
Where's John Morant? Where's Trae Young second?
Where's Jalen and Şengün on that list? Ninth? Eighth?
I think they're sixth, because they went Tatum and Brown, but they
didn't
have
LeBron
anybody.
And Anthony Davis on that list?
No, they're not on the list.
Can't be on the list.
No.
Anthony Davis.
Anthony
Davis is no longer with us.
No, he's
in the
alive.
League.
He's alive.
You don't know that. When's the last time you saw Anthony Davis? Has Anthony Davis been kidnapped?
I don't
know. Do you know?
I
yes
don't
or no?
Know that. I don't.
Is
know.
He being detained in Russia? Yes or no?
No, no one.
Do you know for sure?
Oh, speaking of Russia.
Oh, finally, Brittany Griner got to meet with the U.S. consulate.
Well,
how
about this though? What about the owner of Chelsea FC?
Yeah,
dead.
Oh, he's dead?
He was poisoned. He caught suffered a suspected poisoning that caused his skin to peel off.
So
his daughter posted. Did you see what his daughter posted? Sophia, his daughter, the owner of Chelsea FC.
Well, they're talking about
Sophia.
Wait, is this why they're getting a new owner of Chelsea? Is this why Chelsea? I thought he was just getting out.
Well, he was. But Sophia, 27, made her debut. Will Vladimir Putin have his crazed Chechen henchman hunt down the daughter of a Russian oligarch? This was posted after she posted this. Putin wants a war with Ukraine. The biggest and most successful lie of Kremlin's propaganda is that most Russians stand with Putin. Weeks later, her dad is dead of poisoning. Weeks later. The owner of Chelsea FC, if this was...
Oh, I didn't realize...
If that was here...
Hold on a second. I didn't realize... I knew that right now, there's like a lot of articles about who the American is going to be, because it's assumed an American is going to end up taking over Chelsea. And I didn't realize because he got poisoned. I didn't know that's why he's gone.
Yeah, Abramovich.
Yeah.
His daughter posted about... Allegedly, Abramovich and Putin were good friends. And Sophia posted that, and then he was dead. This just posted 15 hours ago.
Oh, so, okay, so, no, so he didn't leave. So this is recent.
This is recent.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. No, he left Chelsea.
Because he was leaving Chelsea.
He left Chelsea a few weeks ago.
Oh, see, I didn't know he had died because of poisoning here recently.
He's not dead?
That's ball sex.
But the skin is peeling off his face. He's allegedly not dead.
Double check this, RJ. John may have got ball sack.
No, I didn't. It's Outkick.
They may have gotten ball sacked.
No, they didn't get ball sacked. This is real.
Do you like that?
You know, it doesn't say he's dead, but I just poisoned with his skin peeling off. I just assumed he was dead.
Maybe he wishes.
Holy crap, though. Can you believe the
unbelievable bad luck
and
consequence?
That's the daughter.
Yeah.
That did that.
The unbelievable bad luck and consequence and...
He's not dead. Okay, okay.
Are you
his
sure?
His skin is peeling off. He's not dead. Apparently.
Oh well, who cares?
I'm sorry. I assumed he was dead when you're poisoned, laying on the ground, and your skin is peeling off. I just assumed he was dead. He apparently is not dead, but he has been poisoned.
So
and,
big deal. Is he dead?
Okay. No, he's not dead.
Have you been alcohol poisoned?
Oh yeah, plenty.
Have you been laying on the ground?
Well, my skin didn't peel off.
Have you been laying
Wait
on the ground?
Minute.
What if you laid? What if you were in Gulf Shores or whatever,
yeah,
and you got a sunburn?
That happened.
So all of a sudden, you're alcohol poisoned. You're laying on the ground. Your skin is peeling off. this could be too much Coors Lights for that guy.
She posted this, I don't know what date it was, by March 3rd, dad had started showing signs of poisoning, including red eyes, constant and painful tearing, and peeling of skin on his face.
That could be out in the sun too long.
No, or Putin's killing him again. Okay, Putin. Okay, he's not dead, but I bet he wishes he was.
Listen, there's been a series of bad luck for Russians when it somehow they've run into poison a lot, and it's just bad. It's just a bad coincidence.
I don't know. I just assumed he was dead. He's not dead. Okay, so, all right, he's not dead, everybody. You can stop calling. He's not dead.
No one's calling.
No, they were calling. They were calling.
Well, you're putting people on dead.
Well,
guy's like, hey, I'm just over here with alcohol poisoning.
He should be dead. 742 ESPN 97.5 because his daughter said some ugly stuff about Putin. And you know what? Guess what happens?
Here's how you like this. Happens. James Harden, last 10 games. This is the last I'll end on this. This is my Harden thing I want to get to. Last 10 games, shooting 35.7% from the field, 30 from the 3-point line. He's averaging 21.1 a game. He has really, if you go look at his.
What are his assists?
His first three games were terrific. Recently, it's been right at 7. But
and his turnovers? 5?
His turnovers are almost at 5. They're at 4.9. There's having conversations about, is this beginning to be the decline of James where he can't sustain? Because he had the three great games right out of the chutes, three great games. Since that time, it has started to come down a little bit. And the question is, can James sustain? I hope Daryl does give him a 5-year, $50 million. Give him as much as you can for as long as you can, because it will be just watching what Embiid does, because Embiid's Twitter fingers are going to get really itchy if that offer is on the table from Daryl Morey.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get really, really itchy, because if James is starting to decline, and he's taken on a lot on his plates over the years. Like, he's played a lot of minutes. It wouldn't be crazy. And does James just keep it 1 million off the court when it comes to his conditioning? I don't know if that's accurate. I don't know that his conditioning is great necessarily, in season or out of season.
Yep.
I think James is going to do James.
When we come back, will Jeremy Pena lead off for our Astros? And where is Jake Odorizzi in the rotation?
And we have a picture.
We will talk about that on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But first, Lance, you talk about insurance.
TGS Insurance is your insurance company. Text the word money to 232323. That's money to 232323. It's a chance for you to, to see how much homeowners insurance would cost you with a variety of A-rated insurance companies. What they're doing is, when you send that text message, they ask for your address, you give it to them within 15 seconds. You're going to have a firm quote. They'll give you the very best price they can find from an A-rated insurance company. And so you're not sacrificing quality of coverage or quality of company for a better price. What you're doing is you're actually shopping for a competitive rate against the company that you're using now, which continues to raise your rates year after year after year. Make sure that you give yourself a chance to put more. Hey, listen. It's tough right now for consumers out there. Prices are skyrocketing. Now is the time for you to go find some money somewhere. Well, how about with your homeowner's insurance if you're overpaying? Text the word money to 232323. That's tgsinsurance.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yesterday, Sunday and I think it was last Wednesday, Jeremy Pena led off for the Houston Astros. Chaz McCormick's been leading off. They've been doing different things, Dusty said. You know, just because Jose Altuve is little doesn't mean he's the leadoff guy. We're going to try to put the best. This isn't a video game. We want guys to feel comfortable and be in the best spots that they can possibly be to be successful. And maybe that's where Jeremy Pena goes. Normally, the thought is a young guy, especially with a young guy that's going to have the pressure, kind of pressure that Jeremy Pena is going to have on him, you put him lower in the lineup so that he can, not have the pressure of being up at the top of the order, which it is more pressure filled because you want to, you got to have your better hitters up there at the top. Listen, if Jeremy Peña can lead off for this team, if Jeremy Peña is successful, what's a successful offensive season for Jeremy Peña?
Well, you know, I think he is for the AL Rookie of the Year. I think he's the third or fourth favorite. I think a successful year for him is honestly an OPS in the 700s.
270 average. I'd take that right now.
That's what I was thinking. I think from an OPS standpoint, if you're looking from an OPS standpoint.
On base, if he's at 340.
Yeah, I mean.
That'd be pretty good.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
If he can be on base at 340 clip as a rookie. I think that, like I said, I think a 700 OPS would be a victory. And then.
I'm shooting a little higher than 700 OPS, 750.
Well, Carlos was under 700 during in 2020.
Yeah, I know, but he was better. He was Rookie of the Year. I mean, he was better than that. And they, listen,
all right, 340.
Make no mistake, they think Jeremy Peña is going to. Listen, this can be a big win-win. This is like if Davis Mills turns out to be a good quarterback. This is Davis Mills-ish. In that you don't have to pay that guy $35 million a year, and you're getting not just if, in fact, Davis Mills is, and if, in fact, Jeremy Peña is good.
Do you have a history of overshooting for Houston Astros when it comes to their season predictions?
So
realistically,
Jeremy Peña can be a very good hitter.
I think it's successful. 700 is a little low, listen, but I think like 720
is realistic.
It's
not out of the realm of possibility. You just said he's the third favorite for Rookie of the Year.
No, but I think 720 is a realistic, like, okay.
I'm gonna say higher.
Pro baseball.
I'm gonna say
disappointed
higher.
If he's not?
No, but I think that he'll be better than that. I think he'll be better than that, and I think he's gonna be pretty damn good defensively as well. And if he is, what a win. And if the dude can lead off, now they've been trying Chaz McCormick, he strikes out too much to lead off. I don't know.
Are you gonna say what a loss if he's not?
If he's not, he should be expected. I expected him to be the A-hole hitter.
I'm glad you brought this up because this is just dawning on me. The fans are going to be really hot at Jim Crane. If Jeremy Peña is not great and Carlos is, and you had a chance to have Carlos instead for your run,
and you
they're going to be hot.
You don't get to the ALCS again.
Yeah.
You don't, you know, if this team starts to take a dive.
You're out in the first round. Yeah. They're going to be pissed that you could have had that guy, but you went with this guy. And it won't be, and that's why he's got a lot of pressure on him. Now, I hope he doesn't feel it.
Well, and that's another point, is leading him off, putting more pressure on him.
I mean, possibly.
Yeah.
You say it does, but then again, when you have a guy like Altuve sitting behind you, or maybe Brantley, whatever. I mean, you're in pretty good shape. Probably Brantley. Yeah, that's not bad.
So
a
projected lineup would be Peña.
Would you rather
followed by Altuve, followed by Brantley, followed by Bregman, followed by Yordan, followed by Yuli. See, if Peña can lead off, you are extending that to seven again.
Here's what I'd like to see.
With Chaz and Maldonado at 8-9.
What about Altuve 1, Peña 2, so he can be you have Bregman, Yordan, so then you have the in-between. I mean, Dusty will fool with the lineup, so that's good. It wouldn't shock me. And then you have maybe I could see Brantley. Based on the way Brantley was up and down, I could see Brantley. Number one, he may not play against lefties this year. Number two, he could find himself in a six-hole. You could have you seen Yuli? Lighter, Yuli, 15 pounds lighter.
And killing it.
Yuli, I think, will be
the batting champ. That's
potentially,
who?
Yeah. Yuli will potentially be in the, you know, in the five hole. But I can see.
I don't know.
I can see Brantley in the six hole.
I can't see Yuli going up to five. Yuli six and Tucker seven. How about Tucker at seven?
No.
Listen, Carlos Correa made $35 million this year as the six hole hitter for the Astros.
Well, why would you not put Brantley seven? I want Brantley to get fewer at bats than Tucker.
I do too. I don't. I think that out of respect, Brantley will hit that.
Nah, I'm not into respect. I'm into let's have the best lineup
Uncle
possible.
Uncle Mike is probably going to hit third.
Why?
Because that's where Uncle Mike.
But no, I'm sorry, but you have to move if you're not as.
I know.
As good
I'd like
to
see Tucker
be.
At three.
Yeah.
What you want too is
put your best out on the field. You don't want to have
you want
a lesser hitter with
Altuve
more at bat.
Right, Brantley left, Bregman right, Jordan left, Yuli right, Tucker left.
I mean, if you're in the playoffs, maybe.
No.
But remember,
every day, you want to go left, right, left, right.
I think you want to put your best lineup out.
Not only that,
regardless.
Because you want to keep away from a right-hander or a left-hander coming in for those three outs
in the game. I get that. I just think you want to put your best, don't get too cute with it. Put your best lineup together.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be hard. Put the best lineup, and I don't think Michael Brantley anymore might be one of your top six hitters.
At what point will – I know, here's the deal. If you want to know the truth, here's how it should go. It should go Peña, Altuve, if Peña's your leadoff guy. Peña, Altuve, Yuli, Tucker, Jordan, Bregman, and Uncle Mike.
I'm gonna send you something different. I'm going to send you this. There's a chance you also might have Peña in the nine to make him to make him the second leadoff. You have Machete eight, but you could, and then you have Jake or Chaz, and it just sounds so weird. You know, you have Jake or Chaz there in a seven spot. You could do that and let the kid not have as many ABs, but put him in a position where, because he can run, so put him in a position where he could be on base for Altuve. From 9 to 1, you might have something like that. There's a lot of movement and playing around with this. I think it should be fluid. With Kyle Tucker, I think it might be time for Kyle Tucker to be inside the top three spots full time. I think you're right.
Yeah, I would love to see Tucker.
Because he's going to be on base. Like, maybe Kyle Tucker needs to be sitting there in the three hole, Breggy in the five, and Pena in the six. Maybe you do something like that. Maybe you put Tucker two. And you let Jose Altuve hit one, and then you go, you know, from there you go Breggy, Jordan, Pena, and then who am I missing? Who am I missing out of that? Tucker. I just said Altuve, Tucker, Bregman,
I hope
Jordan,
Gurriel,
Yuli, and then who would be six?
Uncle Mike.
Uncle Mike. I could see a lineup like that. Yeah. That's not bad.
And then there's the Jake Odorizzi situation and what exactly is going to happen there. This Michael Brantley and Bregman are going to hit 3 and 4 to start the season for the Astros out of respect. And I just think out of respect, Jake Odorizzi is going to be your starter, your fifth starter. I just don't see, and especially the way he complains about everything too, I just don't see it. Javier was a good soldier last year. He went to the bullpen. I think he's a nice long reliever. You pair him with Odorizzi. Or, listen, early in the season, Justin Verlander is probably going to throw, I don't know that you throw him more than six. I don't even know that you throw him six. He's probably going to go five. You're going to need a long reliever early on for Justin Verlander. You may need one for Odorizzi as well. I don't mind Christian Javier in the bullpen, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, I mean, basically what we're saying is Christian Javier is better than Odorizzi. Get that guy Odorizzi out of here.
Who does Verlander want following him after five innings? Javier or Odorizzi?
I don't know.
Probably Javier.
Maybe.
I mean, I would.
Verlander was pitching a lot more than five innings when he left.
But you got to take him slow, man. I mean, he missed the last 2 years. Take it slow with him. Don't be throwing him seven innings early on.
Well, isn't it pitches, not innings?
Yeah, but
I mean, it's up to him.
It goes along with it.
Well, but if he is in his form like you expect him to be, he's going
you
six
hope
and seven.
He will be. He's piled up a lot of pitches before, too. I mean, early on. So, you're right. It's about pitch count. But normally that follows along with innings. So, we'll see. I just think Odorizzi is probably going to be your starter for your fifth starter. Although you really don't even need a fifth starter, to tell you the truth, early on. You've got a lot of days off. Dusty said, he said yesterday that Javier starting the season in the pen.
Yeah. I'm fine with it. I mean, Javier's a better pitcher than Odorizzi.
Dusty said last year that Jose Altuve isn't just the natural leadoff guy. And in the 144 games that Altuve played, he led off every game. So if that, I know what Dusty is saying, that he might not want to have Altuve, but listen, he may be forced to. If in fact Pena can't handle it, or if he puts too much pressure on himself, you want to drop him in the order?
Well, that's the thing about Javier. At any point, he could. Now, he was a really, really good starter in the pandemic-shortened season. Now, we're talking about, obviously, Christian Javier. But you know that he can bounce. Like, he might be able to bounce up and down, become a starter in the future. You'd rather have that. With Odorizzi, I don't see any. He's going to either start or not be on the team. So it's good to have Pena. If Pena doesn't do it, hey, play Pena there. Because if he doesn't do it, that's fine. I mean, you've got somebody else who can. I'm not panicking. If Jeremy Pena can't hit leadoff, that's fine. He can go somewhere else in the lineup.
No, that's fine. But that's be a big bonus if he could. It would be a huge bonus if he could. All right, when we come back, a major, major announcement yesterday that Lance will read right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't know what this is.
This is, yes, you do not know.
I don't know what this is.
What it is, but it's going to happen next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is Nolan Ryan, and you're listening to The Bench with John and Lance on ESPN 97.5. A couple knuckleheads, if you ask me.
Save big on home updates at Menards. Transform your floors and walls with stylish Mohawk porcelain tile. 12 by 24 inch urban forged tiles combine a bold modern look with the timeless beauty of natural stone for a stunning result. Plus, they feature StepSure, an advanced slip-resistant technology providing safety without compromising style. Save big money on Mohawk porcelain tile. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.